Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And it's an old story and a very new story. Someone flies from Africa to Europe to Texas, spends a few days in a community of West Africans in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, begins to feel ill, and it's as simple as that. This hour, a portrait of a small world. When the Ebola crisis in West Africa can land undetected here in the USA, we will begin with the latest from Dallas and conclude today with a look at the broader numbers that show how much this country is a 330-million-person model of the diversity worldwide. If you do America by the numbers, you see a changing land of shifting and growing communities from West Africa, South America, Asia, from sea to shining sea, from California to the Gulf Stream waters. That and much more this hour, but we begin in Dallas. A man whose name we now know is Thomas Duncan is in the intensive care unit and isolation of a Dallas hospital infected with Ebola. He is someone whose contact with dozens of people in the Dallas area, we now know, has triggered a number of precautionary measures. About 20 people are known to have been in contact with that man diagnosed with Ebola, including 5 school children, and the Dallas Independent School District has set up a hotline providing parents with relevant information about Ebola.
It is important to know that individuals are not contagious until symptoms appear. Therefore, there is no imminent danger to your child. We are working with the Dallas County Health and Human Services Department and will continue monitoring this development and will provide updated information.
That is a recording there in Dallas. We will talk to the superintendent of schools in the independent school district. Thomas Duncan, who reportedly flew to the United States from Liberia, has told investigators that he had helped transport a pregnant woman infected with Ebola to the hospital, then back home where she died. He arrived at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital earlier this week with a fever. He told hospital officials he had traveled from West Africa, but that detail was overlooked. And Mr. Duncan was sent home and came into contact with the people, including those school children, who are being watched closely today. Dwali Saikautaut, senior reporter for KERA in Dallas, Texas, has been covering this story. Welcome.
Hi there.
So what are we learning about the behavior of the hospital and the whereabouts of this individual, Mr. Thomas Duncan?
At this point, the focus is really on the children who had direct contact with this Ebola patient, and they're not showing symptoms of Ebola, fever, vomiting, or diarrhea, and that's what's important. And officials said they were monitoring them, but this morning, state officials sent out an order, and this order apparently was given to them last night and orders them to stay at home with no visitors unless it's pre-approved. And this legally requires the family to remain at home for 21 days. That's how long the risk is of developing any symptoms. But again, how they'll do this is a big question because it comes down to enforcement. Will police stand in front of their home to prevent neighbors from visiting or stop the children from playing in the yard? So that's really the focus right now.
There's a lot of rules in the rule book that are going to have to be written by this incident here. And you're hearing that in some of the questioning of hospital officials at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. This individual voluntarily came to the hospital, indicated to a nurse that he'd actually been in Liberia, but that information wasn't transmitted up the chain, and he actually went away for a while. What is the questioning of hospital officials, and how worried are they that he might have had more contact than would have been permitted if the protocol had been followed?
Correct. Hospital officials admitted to this yesterday that a nurse had asked these questions, did learn that he was from Liberia, but that failed to, you know, get to those up in the higher chains of command. Now, there are a lot of lessons taking place here. A lot of people are basically learning as they go. And so it's really just a huge map, a lot of coordination, but part of the concern here is where this man was, which was in Northeast Dallas, in the neighborhood of Vickery Meadow. You know, it's a very diverse community. We're talking about 30 languages in that neighborhood. It's very complex. And the reaction from a lot of the folks were, well, you know, calm. Some are trusting that the doctors and medical professionals can handle this. They're aware that 2 Americans survived Ebola because of the care that they received. here in the U.S., but others are scared, especially the refugee or immigrant communities that are seeing helicopters flying around, cameras snapping around fences, you know, apartments and local eateries. But, you know, from the federal to the state to the city to the hospitals, everybody's got an emergency operation running. So it's really quite complex.
Two things, Dwali. Is there a sizable Liberian community in the Dallas area and in the neighborhood that you're talking about?
Yes, there is, both in Dallas and in nearby Arlington. There's a lot of churches that obviously help and support the community, and they've actually been doing a lot of work to support those in Liberia who have already been affected by Ebola. So the focus, again, comes back to educating those who don't understand Ebola and trying to help parents understand what this really means for them and their children.
And educating people to give them the correct facts to compete with the rumor mill, of course, in a community, as you describe, is really on edge. Finally, before we go, I heard yesterday that Mr. Duncan was in, and we didn't know his name at that point, was in critical condition. Now they're saying serious but stable. Any sense that he's getting better, he's getting worse? Any idea of his condition right now?
All we know at this time is that he's stable, an improvement from an earlier diagnosis that was described as critical. But how doctors define his current condition, serious but stable, varies, and it can change any hour. Presbyterian says they're giving him the best care possible. It would be a different story if he were back home in Liberia.
But he is in isolation and in the intensive care unit there at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas-Fort Worth. Dwali Saikautau, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Dwali Saikautau is a senior reporter for KERA in Dallas. Superintendent Mike Miles of the Dallas Independent School District spoke with us about the details of the mission to get quality information to parents and families.
There's two main priorities. One, of course, is always safety first, safety of our children and our community. And then the second one is to provide information. And so yesterday we spent a lot of time just informing the public about what was going on, and today is the same thing. We just want to reassure people our schools are safe, and we want to get kids in school and doing the work that we need to do every day.
Now, what do you say to parents who call up and say, I don't want my kids coming to school, or if I do, I don't want them in a class with any of those immigrants, Superintendent Miles? What would you say to a parent who had those concerns?
Well, the first thing I would say is that the school is safe. School is operating today. We'll see in a moment, but we think most kids will be there. Our staff will be there. And then we're going to give them more information about how you can't contract the disease unless you are in contact with somebody who has symptoms, for example. I think parents who hear that will feel more assured. We're going to make sure that we have extra nurses on hand. We did yesterday. We will today. So if they have any questions about the disease, but any questions about their child's health or the risk, they can go see an actual person and not just get online to look at some FAQ. And that will be hopefully reassuring. We've done extra cleaning of the classrooms, even though we do that every day. The Ebola virus is not a Hardy virus. We don't think there is any virus in the schools. But just to take that off the table for parents, we sent an extra crew to each of the five schools.
Finally, do you have challenges getting your message into certain neighborhoods and communities that are maybe more closed than individuals who maybe watch television and pay attention to the mainstream media channels?
Yes, sir. So one of the challenges is the fact that we have 32 different languages spoken in that community where the schools are. So we've translated our messages and information into Arabic, in Burmese, Vietnamese, and several other languages, and we continue to do that. We also have people on the ground who are translators. So we are trying to communicate in as many different ways as we possibly can. We'll be sending out some people to the various apartment complexes trying to get more information out. But that is a challenge.
Superintendent Mike Miles, suspect you have a very busy day today.
Yes.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, sir.